In today's Mishnah, we're in the 8th and 9th Mishnah of the 5th Perek of Masechet Avodah Zarah. Mishnah begins, Yain Nesech Asu Va'oser B'kol Shuhu. So Yain Nesech, which is wine that's been used for Avodah Zarah purposes. Firstly, it's Asur Bahana, with an allowed to derive benefit from it, like we've learnt. And also, if it is a mixture, meaning it mixes into, say, other wine, it's Oser B'kol Shuhu. Even the smallest amount, even a drop, would make the entire mixture prohibited. There's a difficulty with this line in the Mishnah, is that there's a statement in the Gemara that says that if someone's pouring from Yain Nesech, from a small jug that's dripping from it into a big bore, like a vat of wine, even if it's going the entire day, each drop is battle as it goes in. So that seems to contradict our Mishnah. So therefore there are two approaches in the Rishonim to address what appears to be a contradiction. According to the Rambam, he says that's only when it's doing a drop. However, if we're dealing with, say, a jug where a large amount could come out at one time, then even a small amount, irrespective of how much it is falling into, it would make the mixture asur. So it's really how much is coming out, or the rate at which it's coming out of the mouth of this, say, the small jug of Yain Nesech. Another understanding is, which is presented by the Meiri here, with the Karti cites, is that really it would make it asur b'kolshu, even if it's coming out in a dripping. And that statement in the Gemara is not lefi halacha. Now, halacha is, as the simple understanding of the Mishnah, is even a kolshu, even the smallest amount of Yain Nesech that falls into normal wine would make the entire mixture asur. Mishnah continues, Yain b'yain or maim b'maim. So we don't have issues with wine. They also used to do water libations. So if we're dealing with mixtures of Yain Nesech into other wine, or maim b'maim, so maim that was used for libations and was mixed into other water, that would also, the issue would also be even a kol shuhu, depending how you understood the statement of kol shuhu in the beginning of the Mishnah, even the smallest amount would make it asur. Mishnah continues, however, if it's yain b'mayim or mayim b'yain, if it's not min b'minot, so we're dealing with yain nesech that fell into water, or water that was used for libations that fell into wine, then we say in that situation it's b'noten tam, that only if it imparts a flavor into the mixture, that's when that davar asur would make the mixture entire mixture asur. Mishnah says, zahaklal, this is a general rule, min b'mino b'mashuhu, b'shelo b'mino b'noten tam. That it really depends on the nature of the mixture is. If it's like for like, so Yain Nesech that fell into wine, as we explained, there'll be Mashuhu. If it's falling to something else, for example, wine into water, as we said, it would only make the entire mixture Asur if it imparted a flavor. Now, this general rule is not really a general rule, because normally, if we're dealing with mixtures of something prohibited into something permitted, this is the way the Bartiner explains it, that really it is only if it's Noten Tam, if it imparts a flavor, that it would be whether it's Minor or Eino Minor. The Zeha Klal is actually only coming to include another exceptional case like Yain Nesech where we deal with Lechumra, meaning even a Mashahu if it's going Mim B'mino. And that other case is Tevel. So these two things are exceptional. The first is Yain Nesech because it's an object of Avodah Zarah, that's why we treat it more strictly than even a Mashahu Mim B'mino, if it's like for like, would make the mixture prohibited. The other item that we mentioned is Tevel. Now, Tevel is untithed produce, as we've explained. The reason why the Chachamim are more strict with Tevel is since when it comes to Truma Gadola, the first little bit you have to take out that's given to a Kohen, since really Chitachad Poteret Akri, that even the small grain, even the smallest amount would permit the mixture, at least with respect to making no longer Tevel or Truma Gadola, so too we're Machmir in the reverse. The smallest, we're stringent in the reverse, that even the smallest amount that falls into the mixture would make the entire mixture prohibited. Let's now learn the ninth Mishnah, Mishnah Tet. Mishnah begins, Elu Asurim, the osurim b'koshu. So we learn about other items that one is prohibited to derive any benefit from, and if it ends up in a mixture, unlike the previous mixture which was wine with wine, where both items are mushed together, here we're dealing with a mixture of discrete items, as we'll learn in a minute, so things that can be counted, then we say that these things also prohibit a mixture even b'koshu. Well, the first is yain nesech, which we've discussed, and the next is avodah zarah. So, for example, a statue that was used for Avodah Zarah that was mixed up with other images, and you cannot identify which is Avodah Zarah, they all become Asur. Oret Levuvim, we've discussed Oret Levuvim before, this is a type of Avodah Zarah where they cut the animals in its chest, then remove its heart while it's still alive as part of the worship. Then we said the hide itself would become Asur Bahana'a, and therefore if it was mixed with other hides, once again the entire mixture would become Asur. The next is Shvashor HaNiskal. We learned about this back in the Nezikin. That refers to an ox that killed someone and has a din or any other time Beit Din have to rule this, that the ox has to be executed, and that ox gets mixed with other oxen. The Egla Arufa, if you remember, this refers to the case where a person was found down the roadside and they don't know who the murderer was. And involved in the entire process to achieve effective atonement for this problem, they would take an Egla, a young calf, and there would take an axe to its head, and we learned about this at the end of Masechta Sota, and they would kill it by a river. So if that Egla Rufa gets mixed, and it's Asur Bahana, and if that gets mixed up with others, then it would mix to become Asur Bahana. Importantly here, Kati is saying that it becomes Asur Bahana once it's taken down to this strong flowing stream. That's when it becomes Asur Bahana, and that's when it got mixed up. Vitzipure Matzora. This is part of the purification process of Matzora. There were two birds. One was slaughtered, one was sent free. The one understanding here, the Mishnah is referring to that after the one bird has been slaughtered, then they become Asur Bahana. One understanding is both of them become Asur Bahana. Another understanding is that no, actually, once the bird is meant to be sent away, once it's actually sent, it becomes Mutar Ibn Be'achila, meaning permitted for consumption. And therefore, the Mishnah is really referring to the slaughtered bird, according to the second understanding brought in Kahati. The next is Sa'ar Nazir. It refers to someone who took on a Nazir oath. If you remember, it's at least 30 days. We learned about this in the whole Masechta Nazir. And he's not allowed to cut his hair, come into contact with Tumah emanating from a corpse, or have any grape products. And at the end of his process, at the end of the whole Nizirut, as he'd been korbanot, and they'd shave his hair. So that hair is Asur Bahana. If it gets mixed up with even other hair, even a proportion of 1,000 to 1, the entire mixture would become Asur. The next is Peter Chamor. So this refers to the firstborn donkey. Now that has to be redeemed with a lamb. And if it's not, if they don't want to redeem it, then, as we learned back there, they would take an axe to the back of its head and kill it. So prior to redemption, while it's alive, or even after, it is considered Asur Bahana. Next one is basar b'chalav. Here we're dealing with, say, a steak that was cooked up with milk. There's a prohibition of cooking meat and milk together. So because the Torah says, lotef hashel gidi b'chalav imor, three times, it's understood not only is asur to cook, not only is asur to eat, also if it's cooked together, it becomes asur b'hana, one's not allowed to derive benefit. And here, if we're dealing with a chaticha, a piece of meat, then this chaticha would not be a batel even in 1,000. So you have to be careful with the basar b'chalav. We'll learn about them in more detail in Masechta Chulin. But when it comes to actually a piece of meat that was cooked, basar b'chalav, it would not become batel even in 1,000. The next is Seir HaMishtaleach. This refers to the goat on Yom Kippur that was sent off, as we learned back in Masechta Yoma, sent off and thrown off a cliff. If that one's also Asur Bahana, if it gets mixed up with others, they all become Asur Bahana. The next is Chulin Shenishchotu Ba'azara. This refers to an animal, a regular animal that wasn't a korban, that was shechted in the temple courtyard. That would also be Asur Bahana, and not just that, if it got mixed up with other meat, then even in 1,000 will not become annulled. So Mishnah Sarei Ala Osirim, as the Mishnah summarizes here, the Asirim B'kol Shehen. And as we said, even if it's mixed up in 1,000, it is not Batel. The Gemara here points out, the Katya cites it, is the reason why we're repeating this statement that we'd already said in the beginning of the Mishnah is to stress the following point, that when does it become Asur Bahana, meaning a mixture, it's not annulled even in 1,000, as we said, it's Osir B'kol Shehu, that's when the forbidden object that's getting mixed with permitted objects, is the forbidden object itself is Asur Bahana, not only forbidden to eat, but also one is not allowed to derive benefit from it. And the second thing is we're dealing with something that's Devar Shebeminyan, something it is that is counted, discrete objects.
But Devar Shebeminyan is not just that it is a discrete items, but also it's what's called a Devar Chashuv, that is important, that it is sold by numbers. One purchases them, they don't buy bags of them, but they purchase things by number.
And those are Mishnah today.